Bible Readers Banquet's getting closer. If you need help, tell me. I'll get you a schedule. Been trying to start the book of Genesis for a few weeks now, and we're in finished chapter 1, chapter 2. And on your outline, if you remember, plenary means all things. That's the first part of the book, the first 11 chapters. And in chapters 1 and 2, we saw the creation of all things. In 56 verses, God made everything you can see and many things you cannot see. And then in chapter 3, we're going to try to start chapter 3 here, and we're going to see the corruption of all things. It only took 6 verses for man to mess everything up. And then we'll see a little bit later, then because of that, God has to condemn all things, and then man gets confused, and he's been confused ever since. Genesis 3, the corruption of all things. We read last week, Saul read 3 references where between chapter 2 and chapter 3, the enemy fell. He got kicked out of heaven. Earth got invaded from outer space is what happened. And I read, J. Vernon McGee said that chapter 3, and I put on your paper, perhaps it's the most important chapter in the Bible. That'd be hard to say. I'm not going to say it dogmatic. But he said all conservative commentators say that chapter 3 is the most important chapter in the Bible. Now, there's a lot of important stuff in the Bible. I mean, we just come through Revelation. There's some good chapters in there. And Hebrews chapter 11, that's a good chapter. John 3 is a good chapter. Psalm 22 is a great chapter. The 23rd Psalm, you probably got memorized. There's a lot of good chapters. But anyway, I'm just saying that so we'll wake up and look. This might be the most important chapter in the Word of God. I don't know. I can't prove that. And I'm sure we could argue about it a long time. And he actually says, if you read chapter 1 and chapter 2, and then skip 3 and read 4 and the rest of your Bible, you'll have a lot of questions. You won't understand a lot of things if you don't get chapter 3. So I'm looking forward to learning a lot of lessons out of chapter 3. To start off with, there's a key word in this chapter that's used 17 times. And if you've had this class before, I appreciate you holding back. But if you're new, you've never been in here before, I'll try to read chapter 3, and you think you've got that key word, you raise your hand or stand up. Here we go. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as little g gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. No brave souls, no takers. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Oh, you're warm, Sister Sammy. I'm sorry. We're not going to criticize you, though, or laugh at you or nothing. We don't know what it is either. Okay, here we go. And 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. I think I read that before. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Woman. I'm sorry. Sister Sammy met me in the hall the other night when she come in. She said, I'll tell you one thing. You can believe your Bible. You can believe every one of them. She already got the main point. She said, you can trust it. And she said, you can trust it all the time. And every word, that's what she told me. Verse 15. Y'all doing good. You're doing good. I think I'm on 15. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Eat. Who said it? Eat is correct. Eat. I'm having trouble understanding my Bible. Eat is in this chapter 17 times. The truth is, Adam and Eve ate themselves out of house and home. It's a fact. It's a scientific fact. Let's see. Where was it? Let me finish it. 18. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Before that, they was eating off the trees. They was reaching up toward God, up toward heaven and eating. Now they're going to get it out of the ground. Now they're going to bend over and get it. Now I'm on 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Hallelujah, amen, and amen. Once upon a time, there was no time. And then it all started. Now, so we get some great principles here in Genesis and in chapter 3 that never change. The first big point, if you notice on your paper, is the serpent casts doubt on the Word of God. That's still happening today. And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. He just put a question mark there. He just cast doubt on the Word of God. You know, everyone that pulls up a version, they're trying to tell us that there's something not quite right with yours. You're really coming up short. You need what I got, and I got something you don't have. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Did he really say that? It's what the serpent asked Eve. Did he really say that? Are you sure? See, that's one reason I'm glad we got a Bible, because I can look at it and see. If I had to go on my own memory, oh man, I don't know. Did he say it or not? I don't know. Man was created innocent, but not righteous. Righteousness is innocence that's been maintained in the presence of temptation. Let me read it one more time. I never found that till this week. I was checking that out. Righteousness is innocence that's been maintained in the presence of temptation. You know, like the Lord Jesus Christ maintained it for 33 and a half years. That's what I'm talking about. And I failed for the 33 and a half years, or however many. Temptation will develop character, or it will destroy character. Man was supposed to be here in the garden. He's supposed to be responsible to glorify God. He was supposed to obey God. He was supposed to serve God. And he was supposed to be subject to God. And man fails right here. Yea, hath God said. The serpent questions God's word. Now don't forget, this is all in a perfect environment. We talked about last week about those low-income housings where they ripped the utilities off the wall and sold the bathtub and sold the hot water heater and all that stuff. This is a perfect environment. The problem, I heard it this morning, the problem is man's heart. Man's heart. Subtle, cunning, crafty, tricky. Let's look at it in 2 Kings 10. Now therefore, call unto me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants, all the priests. Let none be wanting, for I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live. But Jehu did it subtly, to the intent that he might destroy the worshipers of Baal. Can I go ahead and tell you, the enemy wants to destroy you. He hates the family. He's subtle. He won't just come out and tell you that. He's going to try to trick you. He's going to try to trick you today. Today. St. John 13:2. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. That's what he's still trying to do. He doesn't have any new tricks because the old ones work. Now, before this, or here in the garden, the serpent is not a slithering creature. He hadn't got cast down on his belly yet. Look there, it starts out, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. You see it again over in 14. Genesis 3:14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. He wasn't a slithering creature yet. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He can look like a cow if he wants to. Now, also notice that there's many. Matter of fact, all the other trees in the garden are approved. They're God approved. Adam and Eve might have been Americans. See, that would make me unthankful for all the other trees. I just wanted that one tree. It's a result of unthankfulness. That's one thing, is unthankful. They were unthankful for all the other trees.
Right.
I was telling last night, I used to have a couple of boys in high school. I had more than that, but these two particular ones were ornery, like you. And every once in a while, I'd catch them at something, and I'd say, you know why you did that? I said, because you knew you wasn't supposed to. They just look at each other and say, well, that's right. How do you know? Well, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Put a kid in a room with some toys and say, okay, play with all of them, but this one, this one here belongs to Johnny. Don't play with it. And you'll see.
Yeah.
You'll see. And by the way, I'm the same way. And you are too.
Yeah.
We're talking about human nature right here, which, by the way, is fallen and corrupt human nature. Genesis 3:2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Well, look over in 2:16 is where this came from. Just think about 2:16 for a moment by itself, if you don't mind. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. If he just said that to you, I mean, you talk about having it made. They had it made.
Yeah.
This is it. What more do you want? Look here, he says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. It's a pretty good deal I got in on. It's a pretty good deal I got in on when the Lord saved my poor wicked soul. But this is a good deal. But she left something out here. When she quotes it in verse 2, she leaves out every, and she leaves out freely. So one of the main things that the versions do is they minus words. They diminish words. It's still going on today, same thing. And again, this is unthankful. And the problem here, another problem is, she parlays with him instead of resisting.
Yeah.
She discusses it. 1 Peter 5:8 and 9. There's no discussing. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's still doing that, by the way. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Don't talk it over with him. Don't try to bargain. You're going to lose. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Then also James 4:7, just back up a few pages. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a promise from the Word of God. He didn't say discuss it, negotiate. He didn't say any of that stuff. He said resist.
Yeah.
Resist. Now back to chapter 3. But of the fruit which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. Now this comes out of verse 17, but Eve adds to the Word of God here, just like the versions do today. She adds to the Word of God. She said, neither shall you touch it. God didn't say that. But I do want to point out that when Eve fell, she was close to the tree.
Yeah.
Why would I be close to the tree?
Right.
Why would I? I've told you many times about the two cowboys. One got saved, and two cowboys that got saved, and one made it, and one didn't. One lived for the Lord, and one didn't. And they asked him later why, or asked one of them why, and he said, well, he changed hitching posts. One kept tied up in front of the saloon, but one moved on down the street away from temptation. Eve was close to the tree when she fell.
Think about that.
And then she omits the word surely out of verse 17. Just like the versions add and omit. Still going on today, the serpent has not changed his motives at all. He's still adding and subtracting. And then he also will alter the word of God. She said, lest you die. That's not what he said. He said, thou shalt surely die. That's what he said. He did not say, lest you die. Evidently, every word's important.
Yes, it is.
Evidently. It looks to me like God said what he meant and meant what he said. It's looking to me more and more like it all the time. Then the second big point, again, the enemy hadn't changed his tactics on this at all. After he gets to casting doubt on the Word of God, now he denies the Word of God, just out and out, blatant. No. Verse 4. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. That's the exact opposite of what God has said. And we'll show you some of these things a little bit later. But now, I put down on your paper, that's the first lie. But really, I think verse 1 is a lie also. But I just put it down that way because it's the exact opposite. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. That's against God. That's opposed to God. That's anti-God. The devil put sin on sale. Eve bought it, and Adam paid for it. Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as little g gods, knowing good and evil. Here's the second lie. Imagining that God does not want the best for us. Now, he wanted them to stay away from the tree of knowledge and good and evil because the worst thing that can happen to us is to live forever in this body. I don't know what the name of it was, but I've been wearing patches this week. It's not Ben Gay. It's not Icy Hot. It's not DP'd. It's something else. But the worst thing you can do is live forever in this body. Some of you will get it later. The enemy was imagining that God did not want the best for them. God wanted the best for them.
Yeah.
He doesn't give them every tree in the garden.
Yeah.
He said, now stay away from this one. It's poison.
Right.
They were slamming God's goodness. You see it in 2:25 here, how good we had it made. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Let me ask you something. What did Adam and Eve know up to this point? Nothing but good. Before this, they knew one thing. They only knew one thing. And that was good. They're getting ready to know two things.
Yeah.
Resist the enemy, not debate. Resist. Now, another thing to note here, evidently, in the garden, before the fall, Adam and Eve could just talk to the animals. I think we'll get to do that in the millennium. I think this will be a fun time. And we'll say, spark plug, take us over to the dairy plant. Morning. spark plug won't be there. Our first parents who knew so much did not know this, that they knew enough. Now think about it. Adam and Eve only knew one thing. They only knew the good. But now, they know two things. They know the good and the bad. Our first parents who knew so much did not know this, that they knew enough.
Yeah.
Hello.
Sometimes, I mean, we're in a knowledge generation. You just Google it and you know it. Let me ask you this. It's asked me the other day, can we know too much? God wanted Adam to know what the good is and what the evil would have been. But instead, now Adam knows what the evil is and what the good could have been. Tuition is too expensive for experience to be the best teacher.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Hello.
Yeah. Tuition is too expensive for experience to be the best teacher.
Yeah.
We must resist. We must look to this. My conscience will not help me.
Yeah.
I need a guide.
Yeah.
I need a guidebook. I should recognize the evil from the summit of the good and not recognize the good from the abyss of the evil. That's what the Lord wanted. Now, after we got through denying the Word of God, doubting the Word of God, now man and woman disobey the Word of God. Both of them.
Yep, together.
Both of them disobey the Word of God. Word of God's the key here, by the way. Verse 6, and when the woman saw... that's my problem. Many times I see it. It might be a Chevrolet, might be a brick house, might be something else. Tractor. She saw that it was good and pleasant to the eyes and desired to make one wise. So she took, she did eat, she gave, and he did eat. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. 1 John 2:16. Jeremy's a lot faster than I am. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Why did Eve eat anyway? I don't think she was hungry. I don't think this fruit was any better than the other fruit. I think it's this right here. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world.
That's good.
Let's look at Matthew 4. See, same tactics are still working. He doesn't have to change. Why change? It's still working. On your papers, Matthew 4, Luke 4, two good examples. I'm not going to read them. I'm not going to take the time to read it. That's your homework. But notice that every time the Lord was tempted, He answered with the Word of God.
Yeah.
That's right.
He was tempted in these same three areas, and He answered with the Word of God. Eve sinned because she believed the enemy and not God. She believed what he said. Thou shalt not surely die. 1 Timothy 2:14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. sin's an attitude, not an act. And man is not just sin sick. He's not just sick through sin, but he's dead.
Yeah.
See, I was dead in trespasses and sins. I was dead. I was also sin sick, but I was dead. Verse 7, chapter 3, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. That's man's best effort. And I wouldn't come in this morning with just fig leaves. I doubt they're very sturdy. I'd be a streaker before it's over with. They'd probably rip out. That's a picture of man-made religion.
Right.
321 is what it's going to have to end up being. It wasn't plan A.
Right.
Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. It would be hard to do that without getting some blood. Going to have to be some blood before it's over with. Man's conscience started working. He tried to hide instead of confessing. In 2:15, he's told to dress the garden. And the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And now in 3:7, he's dressing himself, trying to hide out. And he's scared. He's afraid and going to have all these phobias that the psychiatrists are going to slice up and label and give him different names. And he's going to have problems over there. He's going to have to go that direction. Religion merely covers over sin. It doesn't get rid of it. It's going to have to be some blood. Religion is any attempt to close ourselves apart from the righteousness of God. Again, blood, God's blood, when we get over to John. Today, men try it with education, baptism, confirmation, good works, membership. But none of that works. Those are all fig leaves. There's no new fig leaves. Christianity is Christ. It's not a religion. It's a person. Salvation's in a man. It's not in a plan. Christianity's not a religion. It's a man. It's Christ. It's been born again on the inside. That makes me want to put clothes on the outside. I just hope the Lord leads us next week to say, saying, I tell you, the best thing I ever did do was take off the old coat. And put on. Wouldn't it be something if the Lord led us to sing that next week coming up? Man, be just think if the Lord led us next week to sing. Well, I tell you, the best thing I ever did do is take off the old coat and put on the new. That'd be a great song for next week, wouldn't it? I'd love it if somebody sang that next week. Now, tell you the best thing I ever did do is take off the old coat and put on the new. Yeah, for next week. Or today. It'd be great here after a while if anybody's ready. Religion separates man from God. See, now Adam and Eve are separated from God. They wasn't before. They wasn't afraid before. They didn't hide before.
Right.
God is seeking man. This book is a record from this day on of God seeking man. Religion, they'll try to put you in there seeking God. They'll write you a book of self-help, how to seek God. This book says God's seeking after you. But he was hot on my trail for 21 years. God's seeking you. Afraid round time. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. Thank you for seeking after me. Thank you for seeking after each one of us. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.